I want to go back to something you just said before about how, like, Ethereum and even like the concept of storage rent, these sort of ideas that need to be discussed and eventually they might need to be implemented. I imagine you've been following quite closely, like, core dev calls and like how decisions are being taken in regards to like implementing these sort of upgrades or something new. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious about what your take is on that at this time.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot to say on that.
With regards to core dev calls, it's more about how decisions are not taken.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm actually, it's a little point for me. I'm quite annoyed by like the governance of and the way people think about governance generally. There's always an mistaken assumption, especially in the technical community, like, oh, I'm technical and technical governance is technical, so technical governance must be easy. And it's like, no. That governance is always a social problem. And I think also people like sort of get it wrong, like what the goal of governance even is. I always see like, oh, let's have signaling rings because, you know, having signals for the community is important. And like, you know, we should respect the community's wishes. It's no, right? Like, sure, on the one hand, you don't want to have like a totalitarian or dictatorship kind of system, but at the other time, the amount of people who are informed enough to make a decision on certain technical issues is very low, especially in the blockchain space right now. And if we start doing signaling for like, I don't know, I guess the controversial thing around is issuance, right? Like, there's so many conflicts of interest. Like, holders want one thing because the price will go up. Miners want one thing because they want to get paid. Long-term users will want it, like people who actually build against Ethereum will probably want neither. They just don't want things to change because they want like a stable platform. And like, a signaling doesn't show you these biases, right? Like, it's just noise.
This is interesting, but I'm curious about what you see. Like, we just sort of made a joke about how like the core dev call is and how decisions get made, they actually don't get made. What do you see as a much better process?
I don't know, right? Like, I'm just not going to like throw out the solution as if I know what it is, but I do think that the problem right now is kind of like there's unequal say in certain things and then too much equal say in other things. Like, for example, right now, here's like one thing that annoyed me about one of the last court calls is there's some opcodes in the VM right now that are overpriced if you are able to optimize the implementation. So like the BN256 stuff, the crypto stuff. And they're like, the opcodes currently are pretty much unusable for non-trivial stuff because they're way too expensive. If you took them down by like 1/10, right? Or whatever, 1/5 or whatever that practical limit is. And you know, you spent, Guest can do it right now because we were lucky to get like a optimized lib from Cloudflare. Parity could do it if they like pass someone onto it, you know, like allocate some capital, sure, whatever, find somebody to do that. And there's definitely people who can do this. It might be a bit harder to do that in Rust community, but you know, you got the capital for it. And then fine, right? These are the two main clients that are like, that are really important. And then the other, of course, like, you know, if you want to do it in Python or whatever the hell other people, or Java or whatever the hell other people are trying to do it, there are people who complain like, oh, it's very hard to do this. And it's like, you know, writing a blockchain client that can run in production for, you know, 30 billion, 50 billion, whatever the hell the price of the day is, network, you know, it's not easy. You know, we shouldn't be making decisions so that it's easy for you to play with your toy client. Like, you know, we should be making decisions that have the maximal common good return,
so,
right?
But back to the, so then how do decisions, like, how do you recommend decisions get made?
Really, you know, actually, like, I think like the thing that works best is just to have a small committee who
makes the decisions.
Yes, makes the decisions and like you can be confident that those people have best long term interests.
Do you think that the community would accept that committee?
Well, if they don't, you know, they can certainly fork the blockchain and start their own stuff. I mean, you know, like everything is open source or whatever. I just think like the alternative is just too many stalemates, right? Like there's too many things to disagree about. And the more people you add, the more people are going to disagree about trivial stuff and just like throw noise into it and annoy everybody and slow progress down. And also, it's not just people who think they have good intentions or have good intentions, right? But are like are being unproductive or counterproductive. It's also like the more you make your system gameable, the more you're going to get people who pretend they have good intentions, but their own main intention is just to slow down things for everybody else, right? So you can't, yeah, you can make the assumption that everybody who engages in the technical argument has is goodwill in the long term, right? And that may be mostly the case now. They may, you know, mostly like the people who participate on core dev calls probably all have good intentions currently, but again, some of them may be those good intentions may be paired with counterproductive end results. And in the future, I definitely don't assume that everybody engaging on a technical level in debates has good intentions. It's not a good assumption.
I guess, yeah, I think the only trouble, I mean, I understand sort of your perspective, but I feel like there's, like, I'm not, I think the solution that you're suggesting would be very controversial.
Well, I don't and know. I mean, it's sort of like in the beginning of Ethereum, Vitalik could more or less say what he wanted and people would follow and it was fine. And then over time, we've become a little bit more decentralized in the community. Vitalik has stepped back. It doesn't have that much of an active role anymore. Now there's like that's left a little bit of a gap in like there's no one really to say anything. But it's like the part of the problem is also that the like core dev calls are not about making decisions. They shouldn't be. It's explicitly a thing about we should discuss technical soundness of proposals and whether like what can we implement by this deadline, that kind of stuff. And it's not like a philosophical forum. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we can't have like a committee of philosophers who make the philosophical decisions. But they need to be informed in some way that sort of reflects the community. And I have no idea how that's going to happen. But if we kind of push back responsibility to like, oh, the community has to decide this, nothing will ever happen. Mm-hmm. Like we will be stuck with inaction forever.
And honestly, I think for me, the best way to summarize it is it's for me, optimal governance is not everyone has an equal say. Optimal governance is everyone can have as much say as proportionally how much effort they put in, right? Everybody can end up having the same say and the same influence, given that you know they have the capabilities to and the knowledge to provide the value that allows them to have that level of influence, right? So, in the example again, you know, even if you have a committee and it's not super easy to get in to like have an influence on the committee or be part of it, whatever, or you know, like you can't just jump into the call and start screaming at people. You know, if the committee is suboptimal, then again, you know, it's not a company that has like a legal structure around it where like you just can't, you know, like you can't just start, nobody can start ZK, I don't know, like ZK laboratories if they don't like ZK labs and take the name and whatever. Like, you know, there's like, I guess maybe it's a bit different because, you know, open source, but like nobody can start like Coca-Cola if they don't like another Coca-Cola, if they don't like the way Coca-Cola is managing things. But in the blockchain space, if the community really is that suboptimal, like you can definitely fork the network. And if the majority, and here's the distinction, right? If there's a difference between if the majority believe something is going to work better versus if it actually works better for the majority, right? So somebody can fork the network and the majority may believe that the new network is correct because maybe they're listening to them more, but in the long term, the network may fail because the majority opinion was actually wrong, right? And then, so then you still have the first network and it was going to work fine versus, you know, saying, you know, like, okay, what we're doing is actually better as a better outcome for the majority versus just following the majority opinion for a worse outcome for the majority.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's a lot of hypotheticals. Like, I think the idea of just forking, I mean, it sounds like very like simple. I feel like it would be a far more ruckus affair if it were to happen.
I think we have to get away from that though. I mean, the core value prop of a blockchain is that you can fork it. And if you say we should never, like we should do all in our power to avoid forks, then I don't know. it's not a good thing either. Mm. Like, this is not a simple problem, and it's like one that I actively try to avoid getting myself involved with.
But I think like the sort of the sharding model that Ethereum is going to eventually adopt, where like, you know, you can try new features on shards, which are like one way, right? Like, so meaning that you can send your ether from the main chain to one of the shards, but you cannot send the ether back until the shard is incorporated into the main chain. It's a very good way to like try out new models and have like a more liberal way to do this kind of committee system without just like having to do the massive effort or forking the entire network each time. And so, you know, if this new shard is working really well, it isn't just majority liked, but it's actually functional majority wise, and gives a greater benefit, then okay, great. You like, you know, you've proven that assumption in the real world, and you know, like then you have a lot more weight as to like when a proposal is being considered. So I think, you know, like I think actually we should move towards better, more easier ways to extend the protocols and prove features as an auxiliary.
So I'm just curious, maybe to just wrap up, who are the people in the community, or who are the voices that you feel really speak to you? Where are you getting a lot of your kind of insights from?
I mean, my insights a lot from just observation, you know, and seeing how people interact and like the problems that people are like tricking themselves into without realizing. But I mean, like as far as sort of who I agree with the most is probably Vlad. I think so. You know, Vlad sometimes has strange opinions, but I think he's quite good on governance. And it's really, I mean, what I care about the most is just. Some people may find the opinion controversial or of saying, hey, look, let's try to, not allow too much noise to enter the system. But really, I just care about that the system governance cannot be co-opted by bad actors, right? Like, and if you're not careful about how you design the system, that's going to happen. Like, you know, especially when the networks are worth tens of billions of dollars. So, you know, I like sort of Vlad's careful approach and be like, okay, anything we make decisions, sort of really consider the difference between like coin holder interests and miner interests and user interests, right? They're different. Like consider the game theory ramifications and like how the games play out in long term. And a broken process gets to the right decision, it's not good, because when you make a decision through a broken process, what you've done is you've legitimized a process that is broken. And then once if that process is broken, i.e. exploited,